Well, good morning, First Garland. How are we doing? Yes, amen. I tell you, hey, I've had an incredible weekend. I want to thank you for having me. I am lifelong friends since college with Mike Murray and Kelly and several others in this room, and I am just honored to be here. I got to spend this weekend with your students and student leaders, and I'm telling you, you got the best of the best. I mean, I've seen them work, I've seen them serve, and I was like, man, that's incredible. And then I go to their host homes, and I meet host home leaders, and I'm like, this is awesome. And then I come to church this morning, and I hear your choir, and I see Mark up here, and I'm like, I'm ready to join the church. That'd be a surprise back home, okay? All right, yeah. I just want to tell you how grateful I am. I bring you greetings from Summer Grove Baptist Church in Shreveport, Louisiana, and they want me to tell you hello and hi, and I bring you also greetings from the most amazing woman on the planet Earth. Her name is Jennifer, and she is my wife, and she's been praying for us. I've been living vicariously through text and through phone calls, and just she is praying for you too, and just honored to be there. And of course, our four great kids. We've got one that lives in Belton, Texas. She is a physical therapist, got her doctorate at University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. I've got an older son in Denton, Texas, and then I've got two at Auburn University. Don't ask me how, I don't know, okay? But I bring you greetings from the Pelicans. I am so glad that you are here this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew chapter 11? Matthew chapter 11. In a moment, we're going to look at verses 28 through 30. Now, I realize this is a passage of Scripture that you have heard many times. And as you're turning there, I want you to know that I want us to see it with fresh eyes. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this, but to Dr. Amons, thank you so much for the privilege to stand here and to be a part of this today. And I pray that your sabbatical is a blessing. And I want to thank you, church, for allowing him to do that. I think that's incredible. I think it's important. And so thank you for doing that. And it's an incredible joy to be here. I want to talk to you this morning about an invitation to come. An invitation to come. I was reading up a couple weeks ago, and I ran across a quote because the theme has been light, and we've been looking at light this weekend. Did you know, for instance, that light is 186,000 miles per second? I didn't either. Did you know that the fastest light is known as purple light or ultraviolet light? That's the fastest frequency, supposedly, as far as color? I didn't either. But the bottom line is, we think of light as being passive when light is incredibly active. But not only is it active in the way that we see it, but it's also important in how we understand it. And today I want you to see that. But I ran across this quote by Mark Twain. Anybody in here know about Mark Twain? Yeah? Mark Twain once said this, in his Wit and Wisdom of Mark Twain, a book of quotations, Mark Twain says, and I quote, "The difference between the almost right word and the right word is really a large matter. 'Tis the difference between the lightning bug and lightning." Lightning bug and light. You see lightning bugs very temporary. It's something you may see, you may not see. It comes and goes. But man, lightning is powerful. It's beautiful. It illuminates. And it's terrifying because of all that it represents. Well, today I want you to see something that's also beautiful and wonderful and terrifying. And that is the person we know as Jesus Christ. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, would you read with me? Matthew, the writer of the gospel, says this to our hearts this morning. He says, and Jesus is preaching this. He says, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Invitations are so important. Here we see a passage of Scripture where Jesus doesn't invite us to his teachings. Jesus doesn't invite us to join his ministry. No, church. He invites us to join him. The person of Christ. Think about that a moment. The Savior of the world that we just sang all hail King Jesus to is saying, I individually am calling you to follow me with your life. I don't know about you, but there's several people that probably wouldn't want me to walk across the street for them. But Jesus came to planet Earth. He died on a cross, rose again so that we could have relationship and life in him. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Let me tell you how important that is to me. I'm 50 years old, so 40 years ago when I was 10, I grew up in a small East Texas community. I knew everybody in my class from the time we started kindergarten till we graduated. Anybody can relate with that? You went to a small school? Yeah, thank you. Okay. Y'all are like, some of you are like, yeah, and some are like, no, I had 1,000 in my high school. I get you. But the bottom line is, in my school, I knew everybody. And so one of my best friends was having a birthday party. And people were getting, they were getting their invitations to his birthday party. This is back when we used to mail invitations, you know, before you could RSV online. You couldn't do any of that. This was old school. And so the bottom line is, they were getting mailed copies, and I mean, it had their address, some of my friends would bring it to school, so they were so excited about their invitation, and they would show me their invitation, and I'd go, yeah, that's great, and I'm thinking, I ain't got mine yet. 1 week turned into 2 weeks, 2 weeks turned into 3 weeks, and now we're days before, and I'm telling you, I went from being very excited because he was my friend to maybe he's not my friend. Maybe he doesn't want a friendship with me. Well, the day came, and I remember that morning I got up and I was sad. I went in and got my Cheerios, and my mom said, what's up? And I said, I haven't been invited to the party. About that time, y'all remember when we had landlines? Y'all remember that? You know, every phone was landline. Yeah, we didn't have cell phones then. All of a sudden there was a ring, and it was my friend, and I could hear him telling my mom that they had forgotten to mail mine, and I got a personal phone call to come. Oh, man. I was like, Mom, can we go? She said, yeah, we'll run up here to Walmart and get some stuff. And I said, yes, I'm going to his party. I've been invited. Listen, if that's something I remember 40 years ago and it impacted my life, hear me, church. The author of the universe sent his son, and his son says to you and I, come to me. You are personally seen, you're personally invited, and you're personally loved by the King of the world who died for you and rose again. And I don't know about you, but that makes this Cajun boy jump. I love that so much. So the first thing I want us to see this morning is it is our invitation to come to him. It's ours. You and I have been given an opportunity to enter personally into a relationship with him. And look what he says in verse 28. Come to me. And then look at this word. All. Peteo, as it says in the Greek. All you who what? Are weary and burdened down. That word weary literally means to be heavy and to be tired. To be weary. Have anybody here ever been what we call in East Texas bone tired? You've just been bone tired before? Yeah, thank you. All three of us. Okay, awesome. Okay. Well, you're weary. I mean, you're just so burdened and so. Jesus says, hey, listen, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. All. He says, it's open invitation. Come, all of you that are weary and burdened. And look what his promise is. Jesus doesn't leave it open and say, hey, if you come to me, but if you don't, I'm just going to stand here and go, what are you doing? He says this, and I will give you rest. Our invitation, church, is to come to him. And you say, well, that's New Testament. How does that tie to the Old Testament? You are incredibly smart people. I'm so glad you asked that. Did you know this ties to Isaiah? I just want to read this to you. And you can go back and look it up later. It says this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be made like wool, meaning you will be washed clean. And then again in Isaiah 55, 1, here's another invitation that the prophet says that God was giving Israel. Here's what he said. He said, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk with money you did not have. Incline your ear to me and come to me here that your soul may live. He says, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Well, we all know the Apostle Peter. I mean, Peter had foot and mouth syndrome. He'd say stuff and the Lord's like, come on. But here's what Peter says about the invitation to come. This is what Peter learned from walking with Jesus for 3 years. Peter says this. He says, casting all of our anxieties on him because he cares for you. Hey, listen, First Baptist Garland, I stopped by here on my way to Shreveport today to tell you this, that the God of the universe cares about the things you worry about, and he wants you to lay them on him. Now, I could be real preacher-like and tell you all the times that I did, but let me tell you, the times I didn't, I just was bogged down. And sometimes we need a lighter load so we can understand freedom. So the first thing we see in this passage, he says, our invitation is to come to him. You and I have been given a personal invitation to the presence of the King. This is not like, hey, come and just get in there and read about it. No. This is to come and know him personally, to have a relationship with him. But the second thing I want you to see, I think is awfully important, is I want you to see our reason and need to come and find rest. Look with me again in verse 29. He says, after he says, I'll give you rest, the promise of 28, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So our reason and need to know Christ is we've been invited to come into a personal relationship with him. That word yoke, it has a couple of meanings. I'm going to give them to you now. Back in those days, they would take a yoke and they would put it on an experienced animal, and then they would put it on an inexperienced animal, and that experienced animal, through that yoke, would train, help, disciple, grow the inexperienced animal. And so what Jesus is saying, using the example of a yoke with animals, he said, listen, I want you to come and learn from me, and I will show you how to give me your anxiety and your worries, and I will show you how to find rest for your soul. I'll show you how to follow me. Hey, First Baptist Garland, I watched you all weekend long do that through service projects. I don't know if y'all know this, but you're building a house, and that's like way cool. That blew my mind. That's discipleship. Because everyone that goes down there and puts that house together, you know what's going to be incredible? What's going to be incredible is there's going to be a family that you're going to get to see celebrate that they have a home, and it's going to be done by people who love Jesus, who give them an opportunity to step into what Christianity really ought to look like in that service. So it's two animals walking together. Sometimes, though, they couldn't use animals. They didn't have animals available, so they'd have to yoke themselves to each other, and two people would have to struggle to do a task. And so what Jesus is inviting them to is a task, and Jesus basically tells them, hey, your burden is going to be easy and your yoke's going to be light. He's already giving them the end from the beginning. It's just like really, really cool. Because what he's saying is, I want you to come into relationship with me and yoke yourself with me. Because the second part of this was, the Pharisees also wanted the people to yoke themselves to them. And Jesus had these harsh words to them. You want them to be yoked with you because you bury them with burdens. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know about you, but that's an invitation to run to. That's a reason worth coming. John the Apostle, who was the one that was written of in Johannine literature, the one whom Jesus loved, he was the one that at the night of the Last Supper, he actually laid his head on Jesus' chest and heard Jesus' heartbeat. I want to see that on the Jumbotron in heaven. You know what I mean? I want to see that happen, you know, because he heard the literal heartbeat of our Savior. And this is what John the Apostle says to us today in regards to this. In John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he says this, in him, this is what John deduced from his 3 years with Jesus. In him, in Christ, was life, and that life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Here's what John says. John says, hey, listen, I've walked with him in relationship. I've walked in him in invitation. I've walked in him in truth, and this is what I found out. After you walk with him and you take on his yoke, which is easy and light, you find life. John goes on to say in John 8:32, don't have to preach this, but he said this, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. How can you be in a yoke and be free if you're yoked to Jesus? That's it. You and I have been invited into relationship with him. To fellowship with Christ. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking because I thought it too. But Heath, if you only knew my past, oh, but if you only knew mine. But Heath, if you only know what I did, oh, if you only know what I did. Here's the truth, okay? Just to be straight up honest with you. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have turned our own way, Isaiah said. But here's the deal. He came anyway. And he says to you and me, come to me. For salvation, and here's the other second part, believer, come to me every day in relationship. Hey, students, I know we've been in disciple now. We've invited the adults in, so adults, here's the thing. Hey, students, here's what I want you to know. Every day you have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus. Get up, get in his word. What you've been doing all weekend long, just continue that. You know what I did at 5:30 this morning? I got up and got in his word, and you know what? He told me through his word, he loves me. And I'm like, that's all I need, man. I'm good. That's the reason. Because you're yoked to someone that's not angry with you. You're yoked to someone that doesn't want to bury you in your sin or chain you to your past. You're yoked with someone that says, I want to set you free to use you like you've never dreamed of. Oh, First Garland, You and I have a whole city and community around us that needs to know that. Because all they do is they bear their burdens every day. That's why you go to the grocery store and see people that are mad all the time. Because how could you ever be glad if you've never been invited to Jesus? The reason that we come and find rest for our soul. But the third thing and final thing this morning I want to give you is this. Our understanding of how light his burden is compared to how heavy ours can be. Look at verse 30 with me. I love this passage. He says this. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, grammar is important because the word "my" is a personal pronoun. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, my teachings are easy and my teachings are light." No, he didn't say, "Hey, my fellowship." No, he says, "My yoke." It's his. You and I didn't do anything for it. We don't do anything to earn it. He just says, "Come get with me and watch me work through you. And I'll make your burden light. I'll make your burden where others will see and want a relationship with me." Paul loved the Galatian believers. And we talked a little bit about this last night in our session. But church family, I just want to invite you into this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul is talking to Galatian believers. And at the end of his time together, and if you've ever studied the book of Galatians, Paul was really concerned in the first three chapters about their theology. Somebody had come in and tried to present some heresy. And now he's saying to them, whoa, hey, I want to end this by telling you how to act as a church. And this is what I've seen your church do in all age groups throughout this weekend. I have been blown away. Like, taking pictures, sending it to my deacons, going, "This is awesome. This is it." Are you ready? Galatians 6, 2. "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You see, here's what happens. When you and I get yoked together in Christ, we start bearing one another's burdens, and we start getting closer to Him. Because His law is truth, and His law is life. So when I get close to Him, my burdens go away. And when I share them with a friend who's praying with me and knocking on heaven with me and inviting the Spirit of God to move through you and me, now we're seeing stuff that's really, really good and really, really true. Do you have somebody like that in your life? If not, man, start praying that Christ would reveal someone to walk with you in accountability. Be that friend. Say, "Hey, let's pray together, study God's Word together, and hold each other accountable together." I didn't come here with this week, but this happened to me this morning. I was checking out of the hotel and trying to get over here on time, and I didn't bring a lot of stuff, but for some reason I brought, like, I don't know, 7 pairs of shoes. You know, I know, dude, 7, dude, bro, what are you, I know, right? But I had shoes on the work day, I had shoes to preach in, I had shoes with, you know, I'm kind of colorblind, so my wife's like, "You need to bring these shoes," and I'm like, "I understand," so I did. Well, here's the thing about me, because I'm a man, I'm just being honest, I was like, "Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. When I'm packing up, it's a one move in, one move out type deal. We're not doing this, go to the room 3 times. Okay, if I go to the grocery store, it's 27 bags. I'm screaming for help as I throw it on the kitchen counter. But I'm not, anybody else like that? Are you willing to be honest? Okay, good. We are in church. Some of y'all are lying. But we'll just stop there, okay? All right, just saying. But bottom line is, I'm like getting ready. So I've got like 2 pairs of shoes packed on top of my duffel bag. I've got my clothes here that are my hangers. I've got my bag that's got my computer. I've got my Bible. I've always carry a bottle of water. Why? I don't know. I should have just left it there. I had 3 in the car, but I brought it anyway. And I get outside the door, and I'm heading down this hallway to turn to go to the elevator, and all of a sudden I hear this Velcro, shh, and guess what happens? The pairs of shoes leap off of the duffel bag all over the floor. So now I've got, now remember, I have no hands for this. So I set everything down. I put that back. I put that together, put that back. I grab that. I drop the water. It rolls down the hallway. I drop something else. It rolls down. So finally, I am herding my luggage down the hallway, y'all. It's embarrassing for me to even tell you this, but I'm telling you why in just a second. I get to the elevator. I'm now 5 minutes into this ordeal. I mean, my watch is thinking that I'm working out. That's how much it's going. Y'all, embarrassing. I get inside of the elevator. I drop the elevator doors, and I bump it, and I'm right. And all of a sudden, guess what? The shoes get free again in the elevator. Now the elevator's moving. I'm trying to do that, and it's going to stop. I'm like, "Excuse me." I'm trying to get my shoes under control, and I'm embarrassed. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget what I heard. It wasn't audible, but it sure got my attention. Hey, Heath, I sure wish you'd let me have your burdens. Because a lot of times all you do is chase shoes when I want you to chase me. So I get out to my truck. Y'all know it was like 23 here this morning? It wasn't 23 in Shreveport when I left. I just want y'all to know that. But it's coming. And right there in my truck, I said, Lord, you can have all of it. Because I have learned that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I'd much rather have you than carry my stuff around. Hey, church, if we're real honest this morning, some of us have carried around shame for years. You want to be involved in a ministry, but something happened a long time ago, and you're like, if they just knew, listen to me. The King of Heaven, when He washes you clean, He washes you clean. Trust Him. And the other thing is, let Him carry your shoes. Even when you didn't think it was worth anything. Because He loves you so. The Old Testament prophets pointed to Jesus often, and I wrap up with this morning. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 6, says something that really brings to light this. I wish this was a happy passage, but it's a reminder to all of us why you have Disciple Now and why we gather as believers, as the church. Here's what Jeremiah said to the Israelites. He says, thus says the Lord in Jeremiah 6:16. He says, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. You don't think Jesus was connecting things? I do. Here's the saddest, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Here's how it ends. But they said, we will not walk in it. You know what that looks like? That looks like me going into Kroger's with all my bags, dropping my shoes. And everybody say, man, you need to put that down. Spiritually, we do that all the time. Instead of just saying, Lord, I cast all my cares on you because you care for me. Basically, it's the difference between lightning bugs and lightning. You see lightning and it's like, okay, you see a lightning bug, that's cute. You see lightning, it'll change your life. Folks, the light of the world has come. And not only is He beautiful and terrifying, He's inviting all of us into a relationship with Him. Hey, students, He's going to go with you to school on Tuesday. He's going to be with you when you walk into a store on Thursday. He's praying with you as you're praying for a friend that's lost. Adults, as you get ready to go back to work, guess what? He says, come to me. Why? Because I want to shine through you. Because He didn't make us to be lightning bugs. He made us to show lightning. Because that's who He is. Makes all the difference. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly at heart. That's what He wants for you today. Would you pray with me? We're almost done in this moment. I want to thank you for listening. Hey, church family, you're a great family. I'll be honest with you, you are a beautiful people. But I want to tell you, God has set you as a light on a hill right here. And He's using you to reach people that don't think so. They're going to come in with a lot of baggage, and you're going to try to help them control their shoes. And that's okay. Because when they meet Jesus, they're just going to leave Him behind. Follow Him. Well, let me ask you this question this morning. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you came in here today and you say, Heath, I've never confessed Jesus as Lord. I've never trusted Him for salvation. I've never trusted Him as my Savior. I've never said, Jesus, I realize You died for me and rose again and that You want me to have life everlasting. I'm turning from my sin. That's called repentance. And I'm placing my faith in Christ. That's called trusting. And I'm giving my life to You today. Did you know that you can have a personal relationship with the One that tells you to come right now? He'll save you today. Hey, believer, is there someone on your heart you know that's burdened? Maybe a friend that's walking in darkness that hadn't seen the light yet? How about you start praying for them? I want you to know, in a moment I'm going to pray and this altar will be here. I want you to know your staff team will be down front. But here's the deal. Maybe you need somebody to pray with, say, Lord, I need boldness or courage to share Christ with somebody. Or here's the final thing. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I know you, but I'm going to come to you and lay some stuff down I picked up again. Let him do that. And maybe this morning you just need to praise him because you know that freedom. All of that's on the table, but here's the deal. Let's not walk out of here not being changed because we come into his presence and we are altered by who he is. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, in this moment, we trust you. We believe that you are who you said you are. You're the great I am. You left heaven and came to earth. Fully God, fully man. You died on a cross for our sins. You rose again, defeating the grave. And today you're inviting us out of darkness into glorious light. Today you're inviting believers to lay burdens down. Today you're inviting us as believers to pray for our lost family and friends. Oh God, shine our light that you have put in us to a world that needs Jesus. God, I pray in the years to come, that the lights that are burning in here will burn in such a way where other lights and other lights and other lights will come in. Because, Lord, that's what you do. So move in the lives of people. Lord, that person today that knows they don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray in a moment they would come down and grab a staff member's hand and say, today, I need Jesus Christ today. That's all they have to say. God, maybe someone to come pray at this altar. Maybe others, Lord, right there where they are, just saying, Lord, use me, whatever it is. Students that know they made commitments, maybe need to talk to Mike or others. Lord, I pray whatever you're doing in this room, have your way. But God, move in this place for your glory. Because, Lord, what man can do is so feeble, but what you do is so magnificent and so beautiful and life-altering. So, Lord, we give this time to you. This is your invitation. You're inviting us to come. I pray we will in Jesus' name. Amen.